So we last spoke at Sundance during the premiere of Open Hearts, and the film had broken, or the reels had been changed incorrectly.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah, yeah.
And the audience, they said, do you guys want to come back at another time, or do you want to stay and wait for the reels to be corrected? And they all voted and said, we're staying, right? Isn't that what happened?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's been a, so it's, I was wondering, I mean, I've seen the film twice now, and I think that it's a phenomenal film for the, you know, for the acting and for the intimacy, and I was noticing that one person wrote that it's naturally has a kind of a European flavor, a European sensibility, which is to say that it has a kind of a delicate, kind of a gently probing quality about it. And I guess I'm kind of wondering, did you have, in your dealings with Sam Mendes, your producer, and they obviously intended that you should make a Suzanne Beer film and not become just another functioning director in an American machine making a kind of movie that is usually made here. You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was very intentional that they did not want that, and that was, I think, both Sam Mendes, but also DreamWorks wanted a different kind of movie.
Yeah.
I think that they sort of felt that this material had a sort of fragileness, that it had to be treated in a pretty specific manner.
Right. Mm-hmm. You are. Can you?
And they were also. I mean, there haven't been, you know. A number of times where they, you know, where they could have had and sort of wanting to make it more mainstream or whatever. Well, mainstream is sort of not the right word, but sort of more conventional.
Yeah.
And they haven't done that.
Right.
They've been asking questions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually found that very stimulating and refreshing, because sometimes in Europe you are not being asked questions.
Right.
Because there's this sort of auteur tradition in Europe. And I actually think if you look at the bulk of European films, it would help greatly if for a number of those, if the director would have been capable of answering a whole lot of questions, because there's a tendency to a certain vagueness which you cannot allow yourself once, you know, when you basically ask, you have to be sharp and you have to know why you want to do everything you're doing. And I find that pretty healthy.
Yeah. How is it that you came to decide upon Benicio? Can you give me the process on that? I know that he seems like one of the only guy who could have done this as well as it is done, but how did you decide upon him? Benicio del Toro.
No, I mean, it's probably the least complicated process of all process. I mean, basically it was like when the name came up, everybody jumped and said, yes, definitely.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, I know it's a boring answer, but it's actually the true answer. I mean, I've always been a fan of his.
Right.
I've really always been fascinated by what he does. And he adds some kind of mystery to everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his weird sense of humor. I mean, he's got, I don't know whether it's true, I'm just guessing, but I think he perceives the world as being slightly surreal. and that sort of shows, that sort of infuses everything he does.
Yeah. You know, it's funny I was talking to another screenwriter, Tony Gilroy, the guy who directed and wrote Michael Clayton. You know, and we were talking about, I mean, I've had some friends who had drug issues, and he agreed that the people that have vulnerability to drug use, they tend to be very, very good and very receptive to children. He says that's a very common thing in his experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting.
It's something in their natures that wants childlike emotions and simplicity and a kind of escape from the burden of adult responsibility.
Mm.
You know, something like that. I just thought that was a very, well thought out. Did you happen to read that story about that interview with Benicio in which you talked about the same T-shirt?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I actually read it just now. I just read it a couple of days ago. Uh-huh. And I laughed at it because actually that T-shirt is probably the most used piece of clothing which is used in the movie.
Yeah. How long did you guys argue?
I just kind of felt that maybe the audience needs to have a sense that this guy is actually also, you know, taking a shower and having his clothes washed.
Yeah. I was particularly moved, touched by that shot where during his detox he is in the shower with his clothes on. I thought that was actually that was one of the more affecting shots. Well, your film is full of it, but I really quite like that.
I like that too. And I had a lot of discussions with my editor about that because it's kind of funny in a way.
Listen, I was just—I was kind of surprised because when I think of your film, Suzanne, I think of something that's there's always a very deeply penetrating and yet very riveting, emotional dramas going on. And I was kind of surprised when I read in the trades that you're going to do something of a kind of a romantic, comedic nature with Richard Curtis, the director of Love Actually. Can you tell me a little bit about that film?
You know, actually, I did a romantic comedy about 10 years ago, and I've always had a very soft spot for them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say so much about it, other than good romantic comedies does demand a certain. I would say there's a lot of sadness in good romantic comedy.
Yeah.
and so I think one shouldn't underestimate the emotion that comes into a good romantic comedy.
And they're
difficult to do.
Yeah.
It's difficult making a real good comedy, and I'm kind of, I would kind of feel challenged by doing that.
Are you going to shoot this in London?
In a pretty early days, so I don't really think I should talk too much about it.
So you mean, but you're not even sure if it's going to be shooting, let's say, next year. You're not certain about that.
No.
Is there something else you may be looking at?
No, it's a kind of it's not that I don't want to. I just always feel it's so sort of it becomes so kind of bragging or so stupid to talk about things before they are in a more definite shape, and it's not really in such a definite shape yet. But I'd love to do that film though. I love the script. I've also developed a script together with Anders Thomas Jensen.
Can you remind me of the name?
English language movie.
I know you don't want to talk about it, but can you at least remind me of the name of the project? It has a title, doesn't it? At this point?
Lost for Words.
Okay, very good. By the way, I happen
to... It's a lovely story.
All right. I happen to run into Jim Sheridan, who is...
Oh, you did? Yeah.
And he told me about, he's going to use Natalie Portman along with Gyllenhaal and Tobey Maguire in his remake of your film, Brothers, which I saw at Sundance, what was that, in 03 or 04? When did I see that?
No, it was, it must have been 05.
05, okay, all right. I remember you were at the Egyptian Theater with Connie Nielsen and talking about it. That was another great one. I love that film. And I hope that, have you talked to Jim about it? Has he spoken to you?
He's been trying to call me, and I'm going to call him back.
Uh-huh.
I really hope that they're going to treat my baby nicely. I'm sure they won't.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, he's going somewhat younger than what you did, but...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the... have you... one always gets these questions. I'm sure you've heard it, but I had the sense that there must have been... a lot of wonderful material that you couldn't use. Do you believe in director's cuts? Do you think that you might do something extra with Things We Lost in the Fire when it gets to DVD, or do you even think about that kind of stuff?
Actually, this is my cut. I've been taking notes.
Yeah.
I've been hearing notes, but there's nothing in this cut that I'm not happy with. And I don't think, there will be stuff for the DVD, but there wouldn't be stuff for a different movie.
Uh-huh, right.
I do feel that when it's a kind of, however fantastic the issue is in doing all sorts of weird stuff,
mm-hmm.
You can't, you can't have it for hours because...
mm-hmm.
But I had a couple of scenes which I left in quite a long scene for a while just for my own amusement. But I've also been aware that they're not going to work in the context.
Do you, do you edit your films as you go along? Is editing a very extended process for you? Did you tell me about how the cutting of this? Was it relatively simple to put together? Did you have to try different versions? Can you give me a little story?
I do a lot of different. I do edit right from the beginning of shooting, but then I do quite radical things in editing. The discontinuous thing in the beginning was done in editing.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a script or shot that way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also the ending.
Yeah.
And then I actually, I do switch around quite a lot in the editing. I think there is a way of you can say to embrace the initial notion, the thing that initially sort of caught your attention or made you or touched me by reading the script, in order to capture that, at least for me, I had quite often have to do fairly radical changes in editing and things like that.
Right.
Because the movie is such an organic material that things happen all along. So in order to protect what was, the heart of the story or the heart of the project in a way,
mm-hmm.
it might have a pretty different shape at the end.
Mm-hmm. Did you rehearse very much before you shot this? Do you believe in rehearsing extensively?
In the morning. I rehearsed in the morning of shooting. I rehearsed for about an hour and a half with the actors.
Uh-huh.
And there we also kind of, take away dialogue, add dialogue, change around dialogue and things like that, or do other things, or we treat the material pretty freely in order to sort of embrace its own.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds strange, but it's actually true.
Mm-hmm. I also, what I was taken by... tell me if I'm wrong, but is this the first time you've shot in 2.35 scope, the widescreen aspect ratio?
I loved it.
I thought it was beautiful. I just thought it was fantastic that you chose that, because, the usual thing for a smaller, intimate film is people don't, they tend to shoot in 1.85 or, the more conventional aspect ratio. Why did you choose scope? I'm just curious.
As I like the close-ups, there's a certain way of depicting a face in that format, which is it's kind of it's isolated all what is important. Like, you don't have anything else.
Yeah. People have remarked that you use some very, very intense close-ups in this film. Very intense close-ups.
Yes. Unusual.
And, of course, whenever you do something different, people say, well, why does she use so many close-ups? You know, what have you said to them when they, you know, when they said that? I mean, I thought it was great. I loved it. But I didn't think it was overdone at all. But have you heard a bit of anything along?
Yeah, I have. But, you know, it's like, DreamWorks have been really supportive because they also heard those notes. We also had, like, screenings where, you know, and I think it's a very important element of this movie. Because it sort of isolates these people, and you stop looking at the face at this point. You look at, I mean, the eye becomes some kind of abstract image where it's only the emotional, where all the emotion comes through. Mm. And it's really important. Really, how they all feel.
Yeah, sure. Well, was it? Suzanne, I hope it. It finds the audience that it ought to, and I'm very. I was very touched by it, deeply touched by it. And
thank you so much. I hope so too. I really hope that people are going to come and see it.
Well, thank you for speaking with me, and have a nice day. And I hope to see you again sometime soon.
Thank you, and I hope next time I see you, it will be in less dramatic circumstance.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Be well.